This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Tuesday, March 12, 2013. A federal court yesterday granted the Bureau of Land Management's request to extend the deadline for releasing information to the public about drilling and fracking on public lands in the North Fork Valley. The previous deadline of March 15th resulted from a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit brought by the Paonia-based Citizens for a Healthy Community and the nonprofit Western Environmental Law Center. On February 13th, the court ruled that BLM violated the law when it concealed the identity of companies that nominated public lands for gas drilling leases. The BLM must either release the names or appeal the ruling by the deadline. The BLM's new deadline is April 15th. The Citizens for a Healthy Community and the Western Environmental Law Center did not object to the BLM's extension request, since the standard amount of time to appeal a federal district court ruling is 60 days. The Western Slope Watchdog reports that more than 100 all-terrain vehicle and dirt bike enthusiasts protested outside the Bureau of Land Management's Grand Junction field office on March 8th, objecting to proposed plans to close 2,100 miles of public access roads into BLM lands. According to Brandon Siegfried, who organized Friday's rally, more than 300 have signed an online petition asking the Mesa County commissioners to join the fight against the proposed road closures, which are part of the proposed BLM resource management plan for the next 20 years. The BLM's deadline for comment on the proposed resource management plan has been extended to June 24th. Katie Stevens, the Grand Junction field manager for the BLM, says that like the U.S. Forest Service, which has also announced plans to close roads, the BLM is trying to avoid usage conflicts and restricting access to a system of trails and roads that work. Siegfried, referring to a 19th century federal statute that guaranteed access to federal lands, said, quote, "We would like to see the Mesa County Commissioners move forward with an RS 2477 resolution similar to that of Montrose County." Colorado's medical marijuana dispensaries sell their wares legally, and once rules are put in place this year, would-be vendors of recreational pot hope to do the same. But, as the Denver Post reports, no bank, credit union, or financial services company can knowingly accept business accounts with any trace of a marijuana connection. If they do, it's a federal crime. The result is a legal industry that operates in a gray area, mostly under the radar. Dispensaries struggle with issues as basic as payroll, operational funding, and security. They cannot get a loan, a checking account, a credit card, or anything that other legal businesses can do easily. There are stories of Western Union money orders sent to personal accounts, wads of cash sent out of state via express delivery, and dividing thousands of dollars in deposits among several accounts in various names to avoid detection. Some say they rely on gift cards, debit cards, and money orders to meet expenses. Pot-related revenue in Colorado for fiscal year 2011 was an estimated $186 million, a number based on tax-paying businesses. Predictions for the looming recreational market range as high as $300 million a year. Without a bank account, it's difficult for any business to pay employees or, say, pay its taxes. However, Colorado revenue officials are happy to accept the taxes, $5.4 million last year alone. Representative Jared Polis, a Democrat from Boulder, has introduced a bill to defederalize marijuana, which could have the effect of opening bank doors to marijuana-based businesses. Similar efforts have failed in the past. His current bill sits in several subcommittees awaiting hearing. Universal background checks for all gun purchases and a ban on high-capacity magazines are among the five Democratic-backed gun bills clearing the state Senate after a vigorous debate on Monday. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The package of bills once again ignited a firestorm under the Gold Dome, bringing Second Amendment advocates to the Capitol and causing Republican lawmakers to filibuster the measures. Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud implored Democrats to defeat a bill banning high-capacity magazines to 15 rounds.
I believe there is a best way, and it's the American way. It's the path of responsible citizens, capable and allowed to defend themselves, and everything within this bill says, no, you don't. We're going to stop you first and foremost. Please, please, don't go down this road.
But Democrats argue it's a reasonable bill that could save lives when a shooter stops to reload. Senator Jesse Ulibarri of Commerce City says it's just one part of the solution. He also blasted the whole debate, saying he received threatening emails against his family.
In one breath, someone says, I'm a law-abiding gun owner, and the next says, I really can't wait until your child is raped. It is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult for me to stand here and say that this debate has been civil.
Democrats also passed measures requiring domestic violence offenders to surrender their guns, universal background checks for gun purchases and making citizens pay for those checks, and a measure requiring in-person training for concealed weapons permits. Two key bills were pulled last week because of a lack of support. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
In past years, sandhill cranes have come through our area in March, arriving almost every afternoon at Fruit Growers Reservoir, which used to be called Hart's Basin, near Eckert. But this year, things are different, as local birdwatcher Andrea Robinsong reported yesterday.
As long as anyone can remember, during their northward migration, thousands of migrating sandhill cranes have staged overnight around Fruit Growers Reservoir and Hart's Basin, Delta County, Colorado. This past weekend, the annual Crane Days Festival should have been held in Eckert, but there weren't enough cranes coming through the basin. I learned that the crane migration is actually right on schedule, but the birds are staging at a new location west of Delta at the Escalante State Wildlife Area. Last night, Sunday night, I was present there at sunset as probably more than 1,000 sandhill cranes rained down all around me. It was wonderful. This morning, I went to the same location at around 10:30 in the morning. The cranes need thermals to lift them up over the Grand Mesa and the Uncompahgre Plateau as they head north. And they have to wait for those thermals to form, so they don't leave early in the morning. I got there around 10:30, and I heard cranes, and I saw about 35, but I didn't see any more. Around 10:30, cranes started showing up from all different directions. They were all up and down the Gunnison River. Over the course of the next 2.5 hours, I think I watched more than 2,000 cranes rise up, join a thermal, and take off heading towards Grand Junction. It was just incredible. And it was still going after 1 o'clock this afternoon when I left. The biggest group that I saw form a vortex was about 600 birds. Most of the rest of the movement was in smaller flocks of all different sizes. It was just spectacular. I think the mass of the birds have left their traditional Hart's Basin staging area as a direct result of climate change. Fruit Growers Reservoir is owned and operated by an irrigation company that has refused to consider the astounding array of migratory birds that have utilized the area. Fruit Growers Reservoir is an IBA, a nationally designated important birding area. But for the past 5 years, the lake has been repeatedly drained. There was no lake at all when the cranes arrived last spring. Like the great blue herons, whose heronry was once the state's largest, repeatedly flooded in the spring, like the American bitterns and the sore rails and the Virginia rails that used to breed there, like the flock of 120 white pelicans that used to summer there, the now famous and community-loved Sandhill Cranes have left Harts Basin.
You may be able to see the cranes staging this year at the Escalante State Wildlife Area on County Road G, west of Delta, through the end of the month. And remember, you can be part of the discussion at IC Change by visiting thealmanac.org. Two-way radio. It can't happen without you. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.